Coffeeandcoffee.com.
Takes are hot, and the coffee's even hotter.
Hot coffee?
The Mickey Plyler Show is live on the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Introduced a brand new partner with us on the show, All Dry, and my great friend Justin Mann. I was talking to him yesterday. We were emailing back and forth on some stuff, and I learned so much stuff about them. I've known Justin now for a few years, and he's just one of these guys just has it. You know, it's like the Brad Hughes guys, like my Will Huss guys. He's got it. But I didn't know this about him, and I learned stuff about All Dry all the time now. How about at All Dry that they've never received anything less than a 5-star review? I mean, you know how hard that is? Like, they deal with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customers, and they only get 5-star reviews? Like, that's unbelievable. I love that. That doesn't surprise me by then. You just don't see that very often. So, and they don't use third-party contractors like some of these big major box store companies do, the big box stores do. So you get a response team. It's going to be fast. This is a company that does mold detection, mold removal. They do water damage restoration. They do any kind of storm restoration, commercial restoration, any flood stuff. They detect leaks. They remove odors. The sewage cleanup services. They do all kinds of great stuff. Stan is the most passionate guy you'll ever see in the world about a lot of stuff, including this. So I want you to get in touch with them. It will be fast. It will be done right. And one of the things I learned from people like Jay and David's Orders told me this about the mattress industry. There's so many dupes that are out there. Like, people dupe people over. And some of these big companies do that. You won't see that here. Matter of fact, they don't have a conflict of interest just the nature of how their business is set up. So rapid response team, 24/7 emergency services. We know, I love this, the idea that water doesn't wait on anyone. So they dispatch this within minutes of your call. And the number's easy. I want you to go to myalldry.com if you ever have any issues. Call Stan today, 864-863-1234. That's easy, 864-863-1234. And don't mess around with mold. If you think you've got, like, you might have, I got some respiratory issues. Well, it might be mold. That's what happened to a family member of mine. And so don't mess around with this stuff. Call the best in the business. MyAllDry.com, 864-863-1234. Sam, I have a question for you in this segment. James Franklin was fired after the Northwestern game, or after the UCLA game.
I believe it was Northwestern at home, right? Because they lost to Oregon, then they lost to UCLA out on the road, then they lost to Northwestern at home, and he was up out of there.
Yeah, big... mid-October then.
Before everybody else.
Okay. They're the first to fire.
Of the huge teams, yeah.
Okay, the first to fire. Despite the fact they were number two in the country 15 days before that, and they played in this national semifinals in January of this calendar year. I could phrase the question very easy. What the heck has the AD been doing since mid-October? But I'm going to phrase another way. Do you think they ever thought they had their guy? Now, there's some talk that Jimmy Sexton has sabotaged this because he said, you know, I'm going to work. You know, Franklin was one of his clients, and that there was some bad blood there, and that Sexton kind of sabotaged the search a little bit. And I can understand that. I see that. But not everybody's a Jimmy Sexton client. Do you think they ever thought they had a guy and the guy backed out? Well, or what the heck has this AD been doing for the past two months?
I do believe Jimmy Sexton's influenced this quite a bit because Jimmy Sexton represents a lot of people,
yeah,
and also has a lot of pull, probably. But at the same time, he is not going to inhibit you from hiring a coach on his own, or he shouldn't. If he is, that speaks a lot to Penn State's sell not being good enough on top of whatever Sexton is doing. I feel like they probably had hires that they wanted to make, but they probably thought of them as more of a sure thing than they likely actually were. I'm sure they didn't think they could actually realistically. I remember when this started 2 months ago, Mickey, you and I talked about this, and we said, they're going to call Kurt Cignetti, he's going to say no. They're going to call Dan Lanning, he's going to say no.
Right.
They're going to call, then we started thinking about guys who may not immediately say no, like Kalen DeBoer, who has apparently said no. they probably had plenty of hires that they wanted to go after. Elko. But they weren't going to get those guys.
I get it. Clark Lee signed an extension. Drinkwitz signed an extension. I get all that.
I don't think they had a concrete plan to answer the question, no.
All right. But then, like, what would happen with – wouldn't you want Alex Golish? Like, wouldn't you want Pat Fitzgerald? Maybe? What happened to, like, Bob Chesney? How'd you let Bob Chesney go to UCLA?
That's the one that stands out to me that – sure, all these other guys, it's one thing if they're going to the SEC. It's one thing if Golish is taking an SEC job you didn't even want him to begin with. I don't know. Summerall, all that. Those guys aren't even in your region. Chesney's right there. He's right there. He's been successful this year. He's possibly going to the playoff this season. And UCLA, which is not as good of a job as Penn State in the same conference, gets him out from under you. And no resistance in that? I don't think if they hired Chesney, anybody would say, wow, that's a terrible hire. They would say, well, they're going for the James Madison route, which has worked for teams in the past. It's a younger guy a little bit. It's a little bit of an unknown on the P4 level, which brings with it upside, which everybody loves to chase upside. I can't believe they let him get away when it devolved into what it is now. If they land on Matt Campbell, fair enough, right?
But they landed on Matt Campbell after signing day.
Yeah, if you land on Matt Campbell, fair enough. You found a coach that I think a lot of people would have said was a good coach before this started.
Right.
And
if you hired Matt Campbell on November the 15th,
very, very different vibe. He could have brought some recruits with him. Could have gotten a little bit of a head start going forward in recruiting. Iowa State wasn't going to be a playoff team. You probably could have talked him into it. This is the thing about Matt Campbell that strikes me interesting. How many years now have we been talking about Matt Campbell as a head coaching candidate where he's turned down some pretty legitimate jobs?
He turned down the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he's allegedly turned down NFL jobs. So, if Matt Campbell's jumping for this job now, why is he going now? And what does Penn State sell to him that didn't work on anybody else? It just feels kind of odd that Campbell would jump for this one when there have been other jobs available that presumably he could have taken. Maybe he couldn't have taken them. Maybe there wasn't a bigger job than this, and this is the biggest fish that he can get. But it doesn't look good no matter who they hire now that they're going to obviously be their 10th, 12th, 14th choice.
They signed two players. They're behind Colgate in recruiting. They're behind Brown. They're behind Monmouth. They're behind
137th or something.
160. They only rank 165, and they're not in the top 165 on this thing. They're behind Mercer and Austin Peay in Eastern Kentucky. Hey, John Gross took over Samford, who signed four players, and that's a better recruiting class according to Rivals.com.
Two recruits. One of them's a quarterback somehow, so I guess that's good for them. But, yeah, and you can redo a roster very quickly in the portal, and they'll have to do that. But now you're facing the outside pressure of players, past and present, wanting to hire the interim coach. I don't think that's a good idea. It certainly worked here. It's certainly worked plenty of places. It's also failed in many more than that. I don't think that's the opportunity that you take here. And what message does it send now if you hire the interim after trying to hire every coach under every rock in America? It's not a great message.
Oh, man. Just an absolute disaster.
Which is crazy because this is a good job. Yeah. This is a good job. This is a good program.
It's a better job than UCLA. That's the one. You're right. That's the one.
I can't believe they let Chesney get away. That's the one where I cannot believe they let Chesney get away. He's in the area. It would have been a hire that you could justify by saying, look at what happened for Indiana. Look at James Madison right now. It's an easily justifiable hire. You can sell upside on it. You can sell a guy who's found a way to continue what Cignetti did there. And you let him go to UCLA.
We'll see.
I think it's going to be Campbell.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Campbell. And I think Campbell's a pretty good hire. What he's done at Iowa State, that's a very hard place to win. It's a very hard place to consistently recruit. He hasn't won the big games. He hasn't won that conference yet. He could have won it last year. They didn't take the opportunity. He is consistently good at a place where it's consistently difficult to be good. And that's going to be important now because Penn State has no recruits. So he's going to have to build something up with a lot of guys leaving and not a lot of foundation to work with, at least in year one. It's an uphill climb. It's a lot more of an uphill climb than it would have been if they would have hired a coach a month ago.
Yeah.
Like Virginia Tech did, hiring James Franklin.
Well, like South Florida did, like Auburn did, like Arkansas did, like UCLA did, you know, like James Madison's now done. Like, hire a doggone coach.
I've seen Brian Daboll's name thrown around a lot. Brian Daboll's unemployed. Yeah. You could hire him right now. You could hire him today. They could hire him last week if they wanted Brian Daboll. He's not going to – why would he say no? What is he going to say no to?
Yeah.
Would you rather be the head coach at Penn State if you're Daboll, or would you rather be an offensive coordinator somewhere next year in the NFL?
9082 gets in and says, is it true Riley isn't coming back? If so, who are we going after? This is not true yet. Garrett Riley might not be back, but Dabo Swinney has not made that decision yet. According to, put it this way, there's some reports saying he's gone. No one has told me that. We asked Paul Strelo that yesterday. No one's told him that. We asked Larry Williams that off the air yesterday. No one's told him that. He might be gone, but I think that those reported have jumped the gun a little bit. Again, it might be true, but at this point in time, that decision has not been made. I don't think it's been made, and it has not been like this was different. And Larry Williams made a good point on Tiger Illustrated the other day. This time last year, Wes Goodwin's office was cleared out. Well, not this week, but for 2 weeks, his office was cleared out. We knew Wes Goodwin was gone. It just wasn't announced. Well, Garrett Riley's office isn't cleaned out right now. Like, that decision has not been made at this point. And it might be, but it's not been made.
Us talking about offensive coordinator possibilities is purely speculative because a lot of people want to talk about it.
Well, and I know people want to talk about it, but with that said, Texas said, I know, but there's a lot of rumblings. Well, that's great, but it's not, to me, it makes no sense in talking about candidates for a job that's not open. And it might not be open. It might be, but it might not be open.
Gary Riley's also thrown his hat in the ring for head coaching jobs, I'm sure. So this is kind of a multi-pronged thing going on right now.
Texas said about Penn State, said, I feel like waiting on Matt Patricia.
Well, I doubt that.
South Florida didn't wait on Heartline.
Yeah, I doubt that that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't think Patricia would have any interest in being a college head coach. I don't think that's anything that Matt Patricia would want to do. Even if that was, I don't think that'd be a good hire either. I think there's plenty of evidence that Matt Patricia as the head man of a program or a team is a very, very bad idea.
Yeah. Texas said, no coach is willing to work there, knowing that they had a bad year and they're out. And if it happens, you fire a good head coach averaging 10 wins a year. It's an impossible standard. I think that does hurt them. I think that when they did it, I think it does hurt them.
It does, but Brian Kelly had a bad year at LSU and he got fired.
Yeah, but they got Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, so I mean, the money will talk, and the fact that you can recruit well there and win games there can talk. It's still Penn State.
I think they just dropped the ball.
It was a bad process. Kraft completely botched the process.
Totally.
You had to have a realistic replacement in mind if the unrealistic one said no, and he didn't.
You always have, in that top drawer of your desk, you lock that at night because you always get about five or six guys. And you got to know those five or six guys how interested they are. You do your homework in that. Chad's in Anderson, the Electric City. Good morning, Chad. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to hear you're doing well.
Yeah, some interesting points there. My thing is that I'm listening to you guys throw all these names out there for Penn State, and I'm sitting here going, you know, James Franklin or this guy? James Franklin or this guy? And every time you've said a name, even the top names, it would be maybe 50-50 between the two. I mean, you don't fire James Franklin for any of those guys.
Totally agree. They did.
That's my opinion.
They dropped the ball on the thing. Yeah. They overreacted to fans, and they're paying the price. The fans called it, and they're paying the price for that right now.
Yeah, so I don't know who you would – you're not going to – at this point, you're not getting an upgrade. I don't know that you could have. Maybe, you know, if you could have talked Saban out of retirement or something. But, like, it would just be hard. It's hard to upgrade from that. And, you know, what is it, 11.2 wins a season he averaged?
Yeah.
I mean, it's even more than 10. I think it's 11, over 11 that he averaged. So, you know, you're not replacing that. And so, anyways, but that was my thought process on that. And then, with the Clemson deal, you know, hopefully, I hope Riley's back. I know I'm in the minority here, and you know that there's people throwing out Cade's lack of development. It bothers me. I think he developed freshman through junior years. I think his junior year was one of the best years that any quarterback in the country had last year, and people tend to forget that. And I don't know what caused this year. Whether it was the money or the pressure or trying to duplicate that or trying to be something that he's not, or maybe they felt like he could handle more in the system and they gave him too much. I don't know. But he obviously didn't. You know, he regressed this year, whether it was the pressure or whatnot. But I don't see that as an indictment on Riley. I mean, I feel like I think we would all agree that from freshman to junior year, Cade was is tremendous growth. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Sophomore to junior year especially, yes. But
yeah.
Then,
I mean, we didn't see much freshman year, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he went down the progression road, and for whatever reason, I just don't think you. Last year was a little bit of an out. This past year was a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
So,
but another thing is
I know,
well, and look, I'm with you. I don't know. Like, how much do you put on that? I mean, I know that he didn't teach him to hand the ball to the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know he didn't teach him to drop the football and pick it up. I know he didn't teach him to throw some of the balls in through. Like, so you know, but that's still his responsibility, though. Also, how much of it was him just being this wild, you know, like Castanello down at Florida State. There are times where, man, he looks like a well-coached quarterback, and there's times where he just looks like he's completely lost and then just goes on his own and goes rogue. I know Garrett Riley didn't tell him to go rogue and change the play, the quarterback sneak at Florida State, but he would just do things on his own. And
right. I mean, if I had to knock Riley on one thing, it would be, you know, I would like, I would like to know how he teaches the progressions, because Cade consistently, the one thing he was consistent with was not seeing open receivers.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you teach that? Is that a natural thing? I know this. Here's a quick one thing for you, Chad. I got to run.
As a quarterback, you have to have a feel for that.
Yeah, I know this. When Deshaun Watson was there, the staff, even the psychological guys, the mental guys, whatever, he wanted to see the entire field because he was so experienced at it and was great at it, and he did a great job, especially with safeties. If Deshaun threw a pick, it was a tip ball by a linebacker. He didn't see linebackers well, but he never threw interceptions to safeties because he read the field and read the safety, manipulated safeties. When Kelly Bryant came in, they wanted him only see half the field, like to do that. Whereas maybe that's a natural thing. Maybe sometimes you can teach it, but experience of it. But Kay was experienced in high school, like he played it a big deal for a long time, and then he gets up here and he doesn't do it. So I don't know what can be taught and what can't. It's a good point, so Chad, I appreciate the phone call, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Like. So do you hold Riley accountable and responsible for all that? Like, can you give another chance, another quarterback? I don't know. Short break. We'll come back. Josh Williams joins us talking championship games in Vegas right after this.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. Merry Christmas.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
There are few better duos out there than college football and chicken. Quok here, and I'm happy to report that Wendy's has officially launched their highly anticipated chicken tender. They're larger, better, and more premium than anything you'll find in the market. Along with new tenders, try six new and improved dipping sauces, including Wendy's signature sauce, sweet chili, scorching hot, and my personal favorite, honey mustard. New chicken tenders from Wendy's. So when you think Wendy's, think tendies. Try them today at your local Wendy's of Anderson, Oconee, or Pickens Counties.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta-potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shotgun snap, blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz, rolls right side, throws downfield, got a man wide open, Moore inside the 10, catches it, inside the 5, touchdown!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Michael Jackson. Welcome back. Good stuff, Sam. Do it, Michael. Ingles right now. Sam, I'm looking at some awesome specials. A whole Boston butt, $1.98 a pound. You're saving a dollar a pound on that right now. How about boneless sirloin steaks right now, saving $2 a pound? That's down to $8.98 a pound. How about some save $2 a pound or $1.98 a pound on some lean ground chuck right now, down to $4.98 a pound. Loving that. Boar's head, double play, half pound of tavern ham, half pound of yellow white American cheese right now, just $9.99 each for that. So you get a pound of ham and cheese, $9.99. Great stuff. Love the prices. Love the savings. Love the pears. I'm a pear guy right now. I got pears on sale for I'm saving $2.17 a pound, just $1.28 a pound on those. Honeycrisp apples, we eat Honeycrisp apples in our house every single day, seemingly, $1.48 a pound. We love it. Love the prices, love the savings, love our great friends over at Ingles. To our guest lines, Josh Williams joins us. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing this morning?
Hey, man. I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did North Carolina screw me last week? Did North Carolina just completely just topple the undefeated?
I mean, we had a chance to just do something really special there, you know, last week of the regular season. You got Will filling in for Sam. Clean sweep, 3-0.
3-0.
BYU, JMU, and Vandy. Now, I also had 3-0. Arizona, Missouri, and Oklahoma State. You got off to such a good start with Florida, easy winner, and then you had to go and pick Belichick.
It just blew my doors off that Belichick seemingly was playing a little bit better at the end of the season, and they looked terrible, terrible against NC State. But Dave Dorn beats North Carolina. I guess that's the thing we could say. So I screwed it up for us, man. 7-1 last week between everybody. I'm the one through all that. Let's get to it now. Big 12 championship game rematch. Texas Tech, BYU, about a 12.5 point. I love BYU, but I love Texas Tech more. Does that sound about right? What's ticket count? What's the movement? Anything going on here?
Yeah, if you think back, you know, these two teams played earlier in the year at Texas Tech. That line closed 13.5. So, this one's been kind of volleying back and forth. It did get up as high as 13.5, and it got some buyback on BYU. Right now, more tickets on Texas Tech, more money on BYU. So, obviously, BYU winning in to the playoff. Obviously, Texas Tech is already in, likely, you know, no matter what, but win, and they get, obviously, a top four seed locked up. But really, I mean, can BYU do anything? You know, can they make enough of the adjustments needed to really help themselves offensively? I mean, that prior matchup, they could not run the ball, which nobody can run the ball in Texas Tech, but, you know, Bachmeyer and Martin combined for 47 rushing yards that first meeting. So, like, how can they scheme some stuff up with some creativity to be able to hit some explosives and hit some stuff through the air, maybe use Chase Roberts a bit? They've got to be creative, trick plays, you know, whatever. What they want to do is obviously typically use that zone read game with the quarterback and running back, and that's not going to work. And obviously it didn't work in the prior matchup. But, you know, defensively, I mean, BYU played well defensively in the first matchup. I mean, Texas Tech had 7 red zone trips. They allowed 2 touchdowns and 4 field goals. So, I mean, the offense put them in some bad spots at times, but the defense did well. Texas Tech really struggled to finish drives, particularly when they got to the red zone. And kind of the thing I worry about Texas Tech as you get to the playoff, it's kind of the offensive line is kind of the weak point. So they're really inconsistent being able to run the ball. If you have to rely on Morton too much, obviously that's not good. But, I mean, obviously you'd like to think BYU makes this one a little bit closer than the prior matchup there, but I still don't see a way that they'd be able to pull out an upset win.
The thing about Texas Tech is that and they're in the top 3 in scoring offense and scoring defense. They're 4th in total offense, and they are, make sure I'm right by saying this, they're 6th in total defense. Like, you do that metric in basketball where you got to be in the top whatever it is, you know, to win a national championship. And you got to be.
Yeah, offensive and defensive efficiency.
Yeah, you do it every year. Well, and yeah. Indiana's this way. But, like, Ohio State's offense is not. But Indiana's is ranked that high on both sides, too. But this goes to show you. I mean, this is I'll ask you, I guess, a very simple question. Is this a national championship contender?
Well, you talk about return on investment. I think Texas Tech's definitely getting a return on investment from what they did in the portal. Their defense is 100% championship good, but, you know, I don't trust Morton that much. Can they win, get to the semis or something like that? Yeah. But I don't know if they're quite national title good. But
despite the fact they're 3rd in the country in scoring offense and total offense, make sure I'm right by saying this, total offense, they're 4th in the country.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think out of, what are they, 11-1, I think all of their wins are by like 20-plus, aren't they?
The only team that played.
And this, one this, loss.
Yeah, the one loss they had, yes. And the next closest they've had was 22 points. BYU stayed within 22 of them. Nobody stayed within 3 touchdowns of them except for the one loss. 22 is the closest, and that's BYU.
Yeah, I saw this the other day that kind of in the playoff era, so dating back to 2014, there's only been 3 teams that won 11 regular season games all by 20-plus. Obviously, Texas Tech has won this year. You have a gander who the other two are?
Clemson?
Nope.
Really? LSU,
nope.
In 19. Really?
No, the game at Alabama was not a blowout win.
All right. I give up then. Those are the two best I've seen, two offenses I've seen.
2018 Bama.
Okay.
2019 Ohio State. What do those teams two have? What do those two teams have in common?
They both lost. They neither won the national championship.
And who did they lose to?
Clemson.
Yep.
How about that? How about that? That's amazing. All right, speaking of Bama beat Georgia in Athens. Now, neutral site's an underdog. Just the trending and Simpson and where they look. I thought they looked awful last week against Auburn. I don't understand the Ryan Williams stuff. I don't understand what they're doing personnel-wise. They were on the struggle bus, and it looks like Georgia's kind of hitting stride right now. Even though, like you said, Georgia was clunky on offense against Georgia Tech.
Well, yeah, that's where to start. What the heck was that with Georgia on offense last week? Again, Tech defense that's been giving up, 500 yards to everybody.
To remind folks, Georgia had 260 yards of offense last week. Stockton was 11 of 21 for 70 yards passing, no touchdowns and a pick. Like that was one touchdown and a pick. What in the world was that?
That was one of the most baffling performances.
Is that Drew Bobo? Why is that? What happened there?
I mean, does he? I mean, okay, I can see a point that he makes that big of a difference in the run game, but if Tech's going to sell out to stop the run, you can't throw the ball? I don't know. That was a baffling performance. But yeah, you said 2.5. Obviously, the previous matchup in Athens, the same line, 2.5. You've got more tickets and money on Georgia in this one. It opened up at 1.5, but it's been sitting, 2.5 since. Really, I mean, seemingly every Georgia SEC game is pretty much the same. If you look at the last 2 years and their conference games against the top half of the SEC, they're 10-3 straight up, and their point differential is +86. But if you kind of break it down, they're 3-10 in the first quarter with a -60 point differential. They have a -26 point differential overall in the first half. They've only been leading at the half in three of those, but they end up basically with a +110 in the second half. So they make the adjustments and come out swinging and obviously ultimately win. But if you look at obviously the two matchups against Bama with DeBoer. It's 28 Obama after the first quarter. So I don't know. So does that follow kind of the same thing? I mean, you got a scripted portion that Bama is good at and gets a lead, and then Georgia adjusts and comes back and either makes it a game or wins. I think there are some injuries on Bama we need to kind of look at. Obviously, Overton and Collins are already ruled out, and the running back, Jam Miller, is questionable. The tight end Quavos is questionable, and he didn't play last week, so he may be actually more towards doubtful. But I think there's some injuries there. If Georgia gets off to a little bit better start, watch out. But that performance last week was really a head scratcher.
All right, I'm running out of time. Look, quickly, a quick thought on Virginia, 4-point favorite against Duke.
I mean, every Duke game basically just figured out which team is going to have like 5 turnovers and shoot themselves in the foot. Yeah. I mean, I guess, they're not going to stop Virginia's offense, but
Virginia stopped them in regular season.
Yeah. I mean, if you think that prior matchup was at Duke and that line was Duke laying 5.
But Virginia's defense pounded Duke, man. Like it was relentless in that game. They held them at 250 something yards of offense, which is crazy. All right. Indiana, Ohio State. Ohio State's a 4-point favorite. You pointed out to me the only team to play slower than Alabama is Ohio State. I looked it up. Ohio State's at like one team had 60 plays on Ohio State. Everybody else had 40s and 50s for plays. That's an amazing stat. They play an NFL type grind the clock down kind of game, but. It's clear to me that a 4-point spread – I'll ask you one quick question on this and let you get to your points. Would anybody else be only a 4-point dog to Ohio State? Would Georgia be more or less than a 4-point dog right now to Ohio State?
I think it'd be Georgia and Notre Dame.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
But yeah, both. I mean, Indiana's pretty slow too. Both of these teams are offensively, you know, 30 seconds per play. Obviously, two good defenses. You know, the initial move was toward Ohio State. There's more tickets and money on Ohio State. It got up to 6, but it's come crashing back down to 4. You know, I mean, this is a big deal for. I mean, in Indianapolis, I mean, is it 2/3 Indiana? More than that? I don't know. I mean, they just Indiana just needs to get it to where they get some actual game pressure on Ohio State in the fourth quarter, because honestly, they haven't had that since the opener against Texas, I guess.
Yeah, they hadn't had it. So we'll see what Sam does to all that.
I mean, yeah.
All right, Sam, are we going to do, because it's limited inventory, we're going to do just one? Sam, you'll do one? You'll pick an overdog or an underdog this week?
Yeah, I'll go with one. I don't know what the line is. Josh, what do you have the Georgia-Bama game at right now?
Two and a half.
I'll take Georgia. I'll take Georgia at 2.5 there. I think they're going to win the game.
That's always my move. Just take Georgia every week.
I think they're going to win, yeah.
J-Dub, he's got Georgia laying 2.5. Who do you have?
That was actually going to be mine. I'll say James Madison. Big number, but
23.5. But they're better. They're that much better than Troy. Yeah.
I think they want to stop one.
All right, give me this one. Give me I'm going to take 2 this week. My over, give me Virginia laying 4. I thought their defense was great. They tackle so well. And give me UNLV catching 4.5 up on the blue turf tonight on Fox. You like that? 10, you know.
Yeah.
I think UNLV is a better team. I don't know about weather. Weather's not going to be bad either, 44 degrees.
Yeah, that'd be the question.
Yeah.
Dumb team.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Let's review it. Talk some college football playoffs when we visit next week.
All right, man. Sounds good, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, Josh Williams. You like my picks there? You like UNLV?
Yeah, I lean in a conference championship where they're playing at home. I always lean for the home team.
I get that. All right, short break. We'll come back. Logan Mitchell's going to join us. We have our ReedyLandCo.com's hunting and fishing report at 8:25. Roy Philpott's got a championship game. We'll talk to him about that. Much more when you come back right after this.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With 2 locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family-friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
Did you know when you buy your Christmas tree from the Clemson Sertoma Club, the proceeds help send a kid to summer camp? Buy your beautiful Fraser Fir or Fraser Fir wreath at Ace Hardware in Clemson at the intersection of Highway 76 and 123. They sell out quickly, so be sure to get yours today. Every purchase helps support children in need in our community, and that's what the holiday season is all about. Oh, and to make sure your holiday dollars stretch further, no price increases. Thank you for your support of the Clemson Sertoma Club.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Hello, sports fans. This is Bozy Boggs of the Boggs Law Firm, located in Greenville, South Carolina, but serving the upstate for over 20 years. We've always been happy to be long-term sponsors of the Mickey Plyler Show, WCCP. And just thank all the listeners who have used our firm in the past. And anyone who has a legal question in the future, don't hesitate to call us at 233-8066 or find us on the web at www.boggslawfirm.com. No case is too big or small, and I'd be happy to talk to you personally about your situation. And if I can't help you, I'll find someone that does.
Santa's not the only one working hard this season. At Harbin Lumber Company, their team is busy helping you check every project off your list. Whether you're remodeling, repairing, or just adding a little holiday cheer, they've got everything you need to get it done right. Visit Harbin Lumber, where great service and quality materials come together faster than Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. Visit HarbinLumber.com today, and let's beat Santa's visit and get that project done before Santa and your family arrives for the holiday.
From our Roar family to yours, thanks for being with us all year long.
Here, bud. Happy holidays. I got you something for Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I want to tell you about Trail. And these are real conversations I've had. A developer told me I've built all my projects with Trail but one, and it was because of an investor that I had to go with another company, and he goes, I will never build with anyone other than Trail ever again. So that's one thing. How about the Trail, when Neil Workman told me this, if we don't – no, Will Huss told me this. If we don't exceed your expectations, we failed. Not meet your expectations. If we don't exceed your expectations – Will Huss tells me, if we don't leave your business better, not your building better, your entire business better, then we failed. Love those concepts. Love that idea. The leading commercial builder in North and South Carolina is Trail. And their proven solutions help you every single time. It's on budget. It's on time. Never been sued. Never sued anybody. Saving people. There's a church in Clemson that they saved $1 million for. Love it. Love my friends at Trail. Find out why the better building experience works, the great relationships, the one company, one contract, one the communication better. You're going to love Trail. 800-319-7006, TREHEL.com. This segment brought to you by my great friends over at Reedy Land Co. And Logan Mitchell's going to join us now. Good morning, Logan. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, Nikki. How are you, man?
We are blessed. You're about to talk to something. I've only done this one time, and I didn't catch anything. All I did was I was about 12 years old. We're going deep sea fishing, and I'm in charge of the boat. My uncle and my dad are on the boat, and I'm getting yelled at because I'm not following the right directions and keeping the boat straight, whatever. So I have zero experience in this. We're going to talk some tuna fishing, some wahoo fishing. Is that what we're doing today?
Yeah, man. It's that point of the year where it's getting cold and lots of folks probably don't want to be on the boat, but when people do it, you know, for a living, or you know, they're running charters and they're running tournaments for Wahoo, man, it's a fun time. So it's ramped up here. Waters are getting cooler. So
all right, you have experience in this. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, so I was born and raised down in Charleston, and I started working at marinas and would help out with tournaments, and some folks who maybe had a first mate who had too much fun the night before didn't show up, so I'd have to hop on and help out and kind of learn as I go. And once I got to about mid-year of high school, probably sophomore, junior year, I had a gentleman reach out to me, and he kind of took me under his wing. He ran a Freeman 37, so he kind of took me under his wing, showed me how to tie correct knots, and would have me over at his tackle room in his house and kind of, you know, show me everything to do with not only wahoo fishing, but, I mean, we would just run charters, you know, kind of all year round. It was obviously difficult to do it with school, but was able to kind of start out doing charters, and then we sort of started to upgrade a little bit into, you know, wahoo series, king mackerel, classics. We'd go up to Big Rock for tournaments as well. But man, it was so fun, and it's something when you're younger, you really enjoy yourself, and as you get a little bit older, it's kind of like golf, Mickey.
Yeah.
It's obviously a huge hobby, and sometimes when you leave the homestead for 4 or 5 days, people get upset, but it was cool growing up, you know, down on the coast and running certain boats out of Toller's Cove. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Toller's, just off Mount Pleasant near Ben Sawyer Bridge, but man, we did that. I would go four or five days a week, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
All right, professional tournaments. Tell me about this. Entry fees, purses, who's doing it? Like, give me the rundown on how the professional tournaments worked.
Yeah, so a good, I guess a good few examples would be kind of on a smaller scale, kind of go through the Wahoo series down in Charleston. And then you could elevate all the way up to, you know, you've got Big Rock, you've got, you know, the White Marlin Open kind of further north. There's a buy-in, obviously, if you're talking Wahoo series, obviously the main purse would be, you know, aggregate for Wahoo. Usually it's a two catch, so you take your aggregate of two fish you want to keep. And then there's also other pots. You've got, you know, you can do a Mahu pot, or Mahi pot. You can do a tuna pot. You know, you've got blackfin, which is what you're usually going to catch back down there. If you get kind of further out and that water gets cold enough, you might be able to get lucky enough to get on a yellowfin. But different pots, you know, folks can go out there, and if they're not having much luck with Wahoo, or they don't really have the heavier tackle that Wahoo kind of entails, folks can pretty much buy in bottom fishing, grouper, you know, vermilion, snapper, all this different stuff, where they can still win some money even if they're going out on a smaller vessel. So it's pretty intense, especially when you get up to the prestige of, you know, a Big Rock or a White Marlin Open, or, you know, you head further south, you know, kind of going down towards South Beach. So it's intense. It is. You've got a lot of folks keeping eyes on you. People are waiting at the dock for you. So it's a lot.
All right. It's a lot of money involved in it. It's not an inexpensive sport. But we're talking about massive fish too, right? I mean, wahoos can get, you know, big. What's a wahoo? Well, like, what are we talking about? What can they get up to?
You can catch anyone between a 25 pound wahoo. Or I remember, 4 or 5 years ago, I think the winner was 95 pounds, and it was a husband and a wife who were trolling on the back of a 34-foot Freeman just to have fun, and they entered the tournament and caught a 95-pound wahoo and won about, I think, $350,000. Kind of a fun weekend.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good weekend to win $350,000 with that one.
It's a fun weekend, and it's a little demoralizing when you're kind of trolling near them and you see it happen.
Imagine that.
It was a good time.
Well, the tunas are bigger, right? I mean, depending on what kind of tuna, right? I mean, you're talking about massive fish.
But once you get that far south, the water's not cold enough to really be getting on anything like you get in Venice, Louisiana, or when you go way up north.
Right.
I mean, we're not catching 400-500, 600-pound tuna. These are more, you know, quick blackfin that are about, you know, anywhere between, 35 pounds, and maybe if you're lucky, get up to 65, 75 pounds. We're not getting onto any crazy, you know, massive bluefin tuna that you're seeing on Wicked Tuna up in, you know, Cape Cod.
Yeah.
So.
How far out are we talking about? How far are you talking about getting out there?
For wahoo, usually, I mean, obviously this time of year, you don't have that much time in the day, so you gotta get out early. Anywhere between 35 miles and probably 65 miles, or 65 miles is probably a good start. You'll have numbers where you've got old wrecks, you know, artificial reef, and then you're throwing kind of a larger lead down, you know, on a planer near these artificial reefs, and you've got stuff like jet heads and islanders, kind of artificial, that make it look like bait fish, and you'll bring them out, and you have these massive reels you're trolling probably about 8 to 12 miles per hour usually, so it's a high speed troll, and once one hits, man, you know it. So it's intense. It's cold most of the time, sometimes it's raining, you've got all your cold weather gear on, man. It's a cool experience, I will say.
Yeah, it's awfully interesting to see that. And now, how about charter wise? What if someone wants to charter and get professional guide services and all this kind of stuff? What are we talking about? What's the best way to go about this?
This time of year, folks are. I mean, I know plenty of guys who are happy to do it. We're excited to find people who are excited to go out in 45, 50 degree weather if it's raining or not offshore and catch fish. But I would say on a boat, kind of like what I would help run, anywhere now between probably 2,800 and 3,400 for the day, now that, you know, gas has kind of gone through the roof. But probably, you know, I would plan on probably after tip maybe around 4,000 for the day, and you'll have plenty of fish for the rest of the year into probably mid next year.
All right. Now, and so, I mean, you're not guaranteed, you never know that, but like, it's a pretty good, you pay that kind of money, like you got a pretty good chance of having a pretty successful, bountiful afternoon or bountiful day, right?
Oh yeah. And you'll see, especially folks, if you look it up, I mean, I can certainly put a few names out there, but when you're paying kind of that northern number, I mean, no matter what happens, you're going to go back with groceries. So, that's a fact.
Good. Glad to hear that. And last night in preparation, once I got your text of what we're talking about, I went on and saw some great properties, man. Tell me about Reedy Land Co., how they can reach you, what you guys are doing. And there's a lot of dreaming going on when I go on these sites and see some unbelievable properties for you guys.
That's right, man. We got so much cool stuff happening right now. We just came to market with two really cool projects that are creating a lot of buzz over in Pickens. One's in Liberty, and one's just outside of downtown Pickens. We've got 7 5-acre lots just off Concord Church Road in Pickens, man. And it's three of the lots, 5, 6, and 7, have a beautiful creek running. Gregory Creek runs right through the back. So that hit the market, I believe, about a week ago. And we've got a ton of folks going and walking it. And the other one down in Liberty is 4 5-acre lots just off Mill Pine Road, man. And it is a dream, like you said. It's you're sitting in the pines. You're about maybe 8 to 10 minutes away from Memorial Stadium in Clemson. An SO club, so it's right behind you is a huge recreational track, so you'll have a bunch of good folks around you. It's really close to Mill Pond Farm, so we've got a lot of cool stuff happening right now, and even a lot of stuff being set up for early spring, so we're excited, man.
Love it for sure. ReedyLandCo.com. Check those folks out. All their social media stuff, their website. They've got a bunch of great listings and a bunch of good dudes working over there. Hey, you missed it, man. I've got my Reedy Land Co. hat, ReedyLandCo.com hat on right now. So one of my many hats I have, by the way. So you guys are awesome for sure. All right, Logan, whenever I get the urge to go freeze my butt off and go ride in the boat all day long at 40 degrees and rain and go out 60 miles off the coast, I'll give you a big buzz. How about that?
All right, man, Mickey, I'd be happy to set it up, man.
All right, man, but thanks an awful lot. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
You too, man. Thanks, right, Mick.
Yeah, that seems like, I mean, I better have a good day, right, if I'm going that far out. You know how long it takes to go 50 or 60 miles off the coast? And if you're, you know, you're trolling at 12, 15 miles an hour, like, that's a pretty fast troll, too. Yeah, man, yeah. When we come back, we have one open phone line segment. Sam Jones, but it's not all phones. Did you get the Penn State song I sent you?
I got your text.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we play that on the air?
I don't see why not.
If it wasn't so stinking good, I wouldn't play all 3 minutes. 3 minutes of radio time is valuable. But it goes to show you how good the song is that we're going to play it on the air. So my friend Mike sent me that this morning. And if you want to know the state of Penn State football, there is a great song out about it. We'll play that coming back. We'll take some phone calls in the next segment as well. And then Roy Philpott, he's got a championship game this weekend. We'll tell you about that and his thoughts on the other championship games. You don't want to miss that. So our Adams Discovery River text line is lit up right now. I'm going to try to get some of you guys in the next segment. We'll do that on the text line. Also, phone calls, love to hear from all that as well. But it is rare that we get that song. And this one will get stuck in your head. But the guys did a terrific job. So we'll talk some Penn State in the music world when we come back. With Sam Jones, Mickey Pollard, hour number three, the last hour of the week. We'd love to have you back. 654-ROAR, hour three when you come back, right at a very short top of the hour break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.